If you are not here for the first service, please go back on YouTube and watch it over. It will be a blessing to you. Glory to God. But two things you should expect to happen to you in this service. Number one is that if you have lost your health, there shall be restoration today. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17 says, "For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord." The second thing that will be happening for us today, you will be walking in dominion over sicknesses and diseases. Amen. So not only will somebody be restored, somebody will have dominion over sicknesses and diseases. Isaiah 33 and verse 24, he said, "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. That is, the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Sickness will be far away from your tabernacle." Amen. And that is because the end time church to which we are privileged to belong is a church of all round dominion. From what we have been learning since the beginning of the month, it's the time when the church will be ruling irrespective of the opposition. Psalms 110 verses 1 to 3, it says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand and until I make thine enemies thy footstool." It says, "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion and say, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." So the end time church is the end time, is the church of spiritual dominion. And those we have been mandated to rule over are not carnal. But please take note, those who we have been mandated to rule over are not carnal. That means our empowerment is a spiritual empowerment. Is not a carnal empowerment. For 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds." It says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Our empowerment is a spiritual empowerment against spiritual enemies. Spiritual empowerment against spiritual enemies. That's why he said in Ephesians 6:12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And the weapons we have are so effective, they cannot be despised. Our weapons look small. Our weapons look somehow, but our weapons are effective. That's why the weapons cannot be despised. Spiritual weapons have been proven over and again to be more effective than any carnal weapon. That's why they went to a war with a spiritual weapon of praise to face AK-47s. They never shot one bullet. They still won the war. People, when they were, I perceive when they were coming, they were looking at them like, these ones are not serious. How are they even going to get into to fight the war? In their hands, there was no weapon. They didn't know that they had a weapon of praise. Spiritual weapons cannot be underlooked. Glory to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, 38 to 39, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his weapon, his sword, upon his armor. And he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with this, for I have not proved them." So David put them off. Our weapons have been proven. So David said to Saul, "The weapon you are giving me to, we have never proven it before. It has not been proven. It is not what wins war, but I have a weapon. I'm not used to this one. I'm taking it off. I'm going to engage the weapons I'm used to. Weapons that have been proven." And take a look at his weapon. Verse 40. "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. And David looked, and Saul looked at him and looked and said, "Is that your weapon?" The king looked at him and said, "Is that your weapon?" Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Why? Number one, you look like, I don't even know what to, what are they called? What do they call them? You tiny little thing. You are coming to me with a sling, with a catapult. That's your weapon? The Bible says, and he was disdained because of the kind of weapon he had in his hands. Listen to me very carefully. We have weapons at our disposal in this kingdom. The more you try to use your weapon, the more the enemy will tell you your weapon is useless. Why? If we want you to look down on your weapon, that's why these weapons don't work in the hands of some people, because it has been looked down on. How can the anointing oil make me sick? They said to somebody, "Come and wash your feet." He said, "What with washing my feet have to do with the baby I've been carrying in my womb for 3 years?" They were looking down on weapons, and our weapons cannot be looked down on. The weapons we engage in this commission are weapons that have been proven. Glory to the name of the Lord. I said, glory to the name of the Lord. God has an armory where he keeps his weapons. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 25. The Lord had opened his armory and had brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. The kind of weapon, like we said, that we engage depends on the strength of the opposition. Because we have all manner of weapons. But the one we take hold of will depend on the type of opposition we are engaging with. So this morning, again, very quickly, let us take a look at two spiritual oppositions that we want to engage. Two spiritual oppositions that we want to engage. Number one is sexual perversion. Sexual perversion. A pervert means someone that is a pervert is going above and beyond the norm. Sexual perversion is going above the norm. Or we can also say it means sexual activity that is not normal. Glory to God. First qualification of a pervert is it is not a sexual pervert is that it's not with a legal partner. Is not with a legal partner. That you are living together does not mean you are married. Because you know you are not married. Glory to the name of the Lord. Number two, qualification. It is with everyone available. A sexual pervert is with everyone available. He has no barrier. She has no barrier. You know, number three, it is called the spirit of whoredom. It's a spiritual dislocation. It's called the spirit of whoredom. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, "They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord." Look at that scripture in another translation. It's called CSB. He said, "Their actions shall not allow them to return to their God, for it is the spirit of promiscuity. A spirit of promiscuity is among them, and they do not know the Lord." Look at what another translation calls it in CEB. He said, "Their deeds don't allow them to return to their God, because the spirit of prostitution is within them, and they don't know the Lord." The last one, CEV translation, he said, "Your evil deeds are the reason you won't return to me, your Lord God, and your constant craving for sex keeps you from knowing me." Put it there. CEV. "Your evil deeds are the reason you won't return to me, your Lord God, and your constant craving for sex
keeps you from knowing me. And it's not even with your spouse. It's with multiple partners.
Look at what 1 Corinthians 16 says. 18 to 20. 6, sorry. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. It said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth with is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Sinneth against his own body. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are more than that. It's a spiritual war that needs to be fought. In this part of the world, we see it as normal. It has become normal. Even that's why, even for a man and a woman to be living together without without getting married. Living together without getting married. And there is still reparation. It can be repaired if you repent today. And just go to the marriage committee and say you want to marry. Beginning with counseling. Glory to God. It is, stop looking at it as normal. It has spiritual consequences. Serious spiritual consequences. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication. He says that some of them committed and fell in one day. 23,000 people were killed in one day. Why? Sexual sin. 23,000 people died in one day. Sexual sin. That's why the Bible says flee. It is not something to be contesting with. It is something we run away from. It has serious spiritual consequences. And I will show us a little bit of it because of time this morning. Now take a look at CSB translation. It said, let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in a single day, 23,000 people died. That's why Paul said, go and marry. If you can't hold yourself, go and marry. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 8 to 9. He said, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if you can't, next verse. But if you can't, he said, but if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. There are sexual perverts even in church. That the reason they are in church is to deceive the single ladies. Anyone that tells you we must do this before we get married, run. That's why the Bible says run. That person does not have your... Now, look at the way I see it that I was taught. Every one person meeting with another person, when you meet, whatever spirit is inside this one is already going inside you. Whatever spirit is this one is carrying comes inside the other partner. Imagine now, if this one has met with 20 people, do you know how many spirits is carrying? Now, you are also meeting, you don't know if the person, the 20 have met with 20. The 20 have met with 30. The 30 have met with 100. That's why things happen to people, they can't find the root cause of it. Sexual immorality. That has dangerous spiritual consequences. You'll be free from it tonight. I said you'll be free from it today. That was the spirit that came over Ammon. 2 Samuel 13. And Ammon, verses 1. And it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Ammon, the son of David, loved her. And Ammon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. Is that normal? He fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Ammon thought it hard to do anything to her.
Pervert's eyes always clear in the morning. Am I saying something to someone? You know, that is what they call, even in the physical, they call it the walk of shame. The walk of shame always happens in the morning. After your eyes are now clear, you are now walking the walk of shame home. Glory to God. Look at Samuel. He said, no, this is what I want to do. And then what did he do? Verse 10. He says, and Ammon said unto Tamar, bring the meat. He had already gone to his friend that gave him all the craftiness of how to do whatever he wanted to do. So he said, come into my chamber that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Ammon, her brother. She was doing it with all her heart, with all innocency, because my brother is sick and he has requested for my favorite cake. Now she's there. Now verse 11. And when she had brought them in unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, no, my brother, don't force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be one of the fools of Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak to the father, speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. So if you want, it is not that this thing cannot happen, but talk to the king. Let's marry first. Why do you want to force me now? Go back there. Go to the next one. And I, whither shall I cause? Go to the next one. 14. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. And then in the morning, verse 15. Please now. Verse 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had for her. Why? Because her is clear in the morning. And Ammon said to her, arise, be gone, get out of here now. Get out of here now. Any single lady that gives in to that trick of the devil, you will find out that you'll be the one running after him. Because that's what he wants, he has absconded. He's moving on to the next person. May the Lord give you understanding. Number two, spirit behind sicknesses and diseases. The spirit of heaviness. It means someone with a heavy, sorrowful heart who is dwelling on the negative or the unknown situation instead of the goodness of God. Heaviness means someone with a heavy or sorrowful heart who is dwelling on the negative or unknown situation instead of on the goodness of God. It is called in medicine depression. The Bible calls it the spirit of heaviness. Depression is a spirit, it's not a condition. Glory to God. It's a spiritual condition that results in physical condition. At the root of physical mental condition is spiritual heaviness. Anyone that is carrying the spirit of spiritual heaviness or spiritual heaviness will manifest it in the physical. Spiritual heaviness. The Spirit of God takes out the spirit of spiritual heaviness. So what the oil will do for you today, one of the things, is to clear off any depression or any form of spiritual heaviness in the life of anyone here present. In the name of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 to 3. Bible speaking, it said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. He says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the spirit of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness is a manifestation of the absence of the spirit of God. That is what we call depression. The spirit of God is medicinal and takes out the spirit of heaviness. So inside the oil is the spirit of joy that takes off the spirit of heaviness. Anyone that is spiritually heavy in this service, it shall be taken off in the name of Jesus. It shall be exchanged for the spirit of joy. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but the broken spirit drieth the bones. Anyone that is carrying the spirit of heaviness, it does not take time for it to be showing up in the system. It begins to show up in the body, and when it shows up in the body, it affects every department and every area of the body. You won't be found there again. Philippians 4:4, this is the rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now that we have identified those two oppositions today, what is the weapon we are looking at? In this service, we are looking at the weapon of the anointing oil. The anointing oil is the mystery that transcends all generations, beginning from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, scripture speaking about the anointing oil said, in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 31, that's the instruction. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. So it wasn't meant only for the Old Testament. It continues even now. It continues until Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit had been there from the beginning. And it was on David. The Bible says, speaking about David, 1 Samuel 16:3. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the spirit that is in the oil came upon David from that day forward. From the old, even to the new. That's why even Jesus used it. Glory to God. Ephesians 4. Verses 4 to 5, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one holy calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What does that mean? Romans 8:11 tells us what it means. But the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead shall dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit. Take a look at it. Capital S, it means the spirit of God that dwells in you. So how does the Spirit of God dwell in us? One way by which we are anointed is via the anointing oil. The Spirit of God goes into the anointing oil and we are anointed. And it says when that Spirit comes upon us, we become unstoppable. That's why David never lost a battle. The Spirit, when we are anointed, it means the Spirit being present with us at all times. The reason Saul lost it, Saul was also anointed. But the Bible says after a while, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. That means that he lost the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord departed from him. But for David, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon David forever. From that day forward, nobody could face David. From today, no sickness will be able to face you again. What is in that oil that heals? Let's take a look at this weapon, this oil. What is inside this oil that heals? Number one, it is the healing power of God. So inside the oil is the healing power of God. Inside that oil is the healing power of God. Inside that oil is the healing power of God. Inside this oil is the healing power of God. The healing power of God is inside the oil. It looks like ordinary oil. What are you talking about? This weapon is ordinary. No, this weapon is powerful when understanding comes. This weapon is powerful. This weapon cannot be disdained. This weapon should never be looked down on, because inside this weapon is the healing power of God. That's why they said, hey, why are you bothering pastors? Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and they will anoint him in the name of the Lord. And the power, he says, is any sick among you? James 5:14-15, let him call for the elders of the church. and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So is there any sick among you? I'm asking now. There are elders here. Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint you in the name of the Lord. He said you don't need to even bother the pastors. Or at even now, get the oil. Pray over it. It is the same power of God. And anoint yourself and believe it. And what? Believe it. Glory to God. Mark 6, 7. So that you know there is power in the oil. Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them two by two and gave them power. Then we found out what kind of power he gave them. In verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out devils. You can't cast out devils without power. He said, and they cast out devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So they were casting out devils with the word. They were anointing those who were sick with the oil. Casting out devils with the word, anointing those who were sick with the oil. So the word is to cast out devils. The oil is to heal the sick. It's for the healing of the sick. I don't care the name of the sickness you came in here with today. In this service, you are going home healed. I said, in this service, you are going home healed. Amen. Somebody will look for that sickness. You will never find it again. Amen. Inside the anointing oil is the potent healing power of God. Number two, quickly. What is in the anointing oil that heals? The spirit of the Lord that destroys yokes. So anybody that came in here with any form of yoke, this inside the anointing oil is the spirit of God that has the potency to destroy yokes. Yokes, no matter what it is called. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. When the spirit of the Lord comes, yokes takes out. It takes yokes out. The spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to them that are bound. Recovering of sight to them that are blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To set at liberty, which means there are those who are in bondage. There are those who are carrying all manner of yokes everywhere. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. How? And the yoke shall be destroyed. How? Because of the anointing. Don't look down on this weapon. This weapon is so potent. You know, you look down on nations when you know their armory. When you know the kind of weapons they have. You look down on them. You. I will sweep you off. That's what one nation thought will happen to another. I mean, understand what I'm talking about. That in 2 days, we will clear you off. But they didn't know. And then, what happened? These ones were also begging for weapons from higher ones. Weapon for weapon. Don't look down. There are some. Where I'm going to again is this nation's fighting right now. They didn't know that as small as that nation was, there were some things that does not need that kind of weapon. It's just sense. They were coming with all their things. They forgot to take petrol. Did you know that story? In the beginning of the war, they were coming with all manner of armor. Thousands of armor they were coming. They got stuck. Ha! Fuel has finished inside this thing. What are we going to do? Why? You have weapon, but you don't have sense. Glory to God. Don't disdain this weapon, because inside this weapon are all manner of powers. One of them also, again, is the power that destroys yokes. Whatever yoke you came in here with, it will be taken out. Amen. Number three, what is in the anointing oil that heals? The spirit of the Lord that sets the captives free. The spirit of the Lord that sets the captives free. Every captive in this service shall be set free. Isaiah 49:25, thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. He says, I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children. But what weapon are we going to use? 1 Samuel 16, 13. He says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the spirit of the Lord upon David came upon David from that day forward. That's why David became a winner forever, never losing any battle. The last battle you lost will be the last you'll ever lose. What is in the anointing oil that heals? Number four, the spirit of the Lord that exempts us from all evil of the day. The spirit of the Lord that exempts us from all evil of the day. Psalms 105, verses 13 to 15. It says, when they went from one nation to another, they went from one kingdom to another, he suffered no man to do them wrong, saying, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Don't touch the anointed. The anointing turns us to touch nots. The anointing turns us to touch nots. I learned from scriptures that there are evils associated with every day. I also learned from scriptures that there is good associated with every day. So he said that the anointing sets us apart from the evil that is looking for victims daily. As the evil is coming, he says, he sees the seal of touch not on your head. He sees the seal of touch not, and then he moves on to another one. That's why scriptures also says, I will give men for thy sake. Why? Because you have become a touch not. Haven't you heard, or have you not seen, that sometimes when you are going somewhere and then you reach somewhere, an accident just happened? Somebody shared it. It wasn't a real testimony, but it's still a testimony. After Covenant Hour of Prayer on one of those days, he said, I was going at 140 or something. He said, I was going 40 kilometers above speed limit. He said, and then a police woman parked by my side and said, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I said, so what did you say? The other person that was there, I said, what will he say? Does he have anything to say? Does he have anything to say? He said, I just kept quiet. I was just looking at her. And you know when you begin to look at someone like, you caught me. But by mercy, he just said, just go. Just be careful. I didn't say that one will work for you. So you have become a touch not, but it's not touch not to break the law. It's not touch not to break the law, but you have become a touch not to your enemies, to the evil of the day. You have become a touch not. I see you being untouched from today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number five. He said, you have been sealed. So Ephesians 1:13, he says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So there is a seal of the Holy Spirit upon us that turns us to a touch not. Number five, the spirit of the fan and the fire. Any number you want. The spirit of the fan and the fire. The spirit of the fan and the fire. Matthew chapter 3, 11 to 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He says, but he that cometh after me, he is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And what will he do? He says, whose fan it is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but it will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So inside this oil is fan, the power of fan and fire. What does fan do? Fan will cool a place. What does fire do? Fire burns. So he says, when you take a shot of it, it goes into our system, because our system is the floor. We are the floor of the Holy Ghost. He says he goes into the system, and then whatsoever is making you uncomfortable, that is giving you heat, he is the fan that cools it down. Inside it is also the fire. He says, whatso he will preserve your organs. And then whatever is now at the root of that discomfort, he will gather them together and burn them off. Whatsoever is making you uncomfortable, as you take a shot of this oil, when you are asked to do that, it will take off every uncomfortable thing in your body. And everyone and anyone here that has been given any form of medical report concerning your system, as you take a shot of the oil, the fan power inside the oil will cool everything down. In the name of Jesus Christ. Remember also, it is our covenant day, covenant family day. Please recognize that redemption changed our family lineage. Redemption changed our family lineage. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are redeemed as new beings. We have been redeemed as new beings. How? Into the household of God. You know, I just want us to do one little drama right now. Please, Deacon, please come very quickly. The Lord bless you. I want to give you a vivid picture of who you are now. A vivid picture of who you are now. Please come, my brother. So, this was your father. This is still your father. He gave birth to you. You belong to this family. Am I making sense? Now, Pastor, one pastor, please come. Pastor Layoye, please come. This is your new father. Please come up here so they can see you very well. This is your new father. Why? Because the day you became born again, you changed your family. This man is still your biological father, but here is your spiritual one. Now, here is death coming, saying that, hey, in this family, I killed them at 50. In this family, it is, they have to be poor. So now he's coming. He has been coming before. He has been doing his harm. Stand behind me, behind him. Sir, please move close to them. Now, he's coming now to say, I want to take this guy. He's not even seeing the person coming because it's not physical. Now, your father now says, impossicant. No. He has changed family. He's no longer, this is no longer, he's just bearing this man's name. He's his biological father. I am his father now. And that doesn't happen in this kingdom. The Lord bless you. Glory to God. Do you have an understanding of who you are now? You have changed your family. Redemption gave you a new family. So that means whatever association you had, any spell, enchantment with your biological family has no more hold on us. Galatians 3:13-14. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessing of Abraham replaced all the curses that we were associated with. The blessings of Abraham. The only thing available in this new kingdom, in this new lineage, in this new family are blessings. Blessings of the breast and blessings of the womb. Blessings of our fathers. Blessings that cannot be reversed. Curses had been laid behind. Now we are in the realm of blessings. Verse 29 of the same scripture. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we are now Abraham's seed. The source of the seed has changed. It's changed from biological seed to spiritual. Numbers 23:23. So now that it has changed to spiritual, Numbers 23:23. Therefore, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Look at what God is doing for them. Whatever they were coming with has been eradicated. Our God is the author of the family institution. And when the family was instituted, he pronounced blessings on them. Genesis chapter 1, 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. First thing that came out of his mouth, God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and have dominion. Genesis 10, 5. By this were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. What does that mean? He says, by this were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. So in this nation, he said, this is how you will recognize them. Divided in their lands, everyone after their tongue, after their families, in their nations, after their tongues. So this is my interpretation. You go, he says, families are known in three ways. By their tongues. That's the language they speak. Am I making sense? Your language, as a matter of fact, your language may ultimately determine the nation you come from. Number two, for example, you are in downtown Calgary. Or no, you are in China, for example. And then while you are in China, you hear somebody say, you look back immediately. That's my brother. That's the family I come from. You all know already that that's a part of your family. You may not be from the same, but it's the same. It's still the family. Glory to God. By their tribe. You meet somebody at the airport. And you see that this person, you speak their language, and I don't get what you are saying. Okay, that means it's not from us. By their tribe. We are from the same nation. Which tribe are you from? I see that we are from the same nation. But which tribe are you from? Now, the third one is by their passport. In case somebody doesn't want to, he's not saying anything. But you see the passport. He says, Canada. Ah. You say, hey, bro, you will look for a way to talk to them. How are you? Because it's not, you are not in Canada, because everybody is in Canada. You are in, like, I'm saying we are in Russia or you are in China. And you see somebody's passport, it says Canada. You say, hey, are you Stampede? If he's Stampede, he already knows what you are saying. That means he's from Calgary. Or you say, oh, no, he says, no. Oh, no, I'm not from Calgary, I'm from Toronto. You get talking. Three ways. In the same way, in this kingdom, there are three ways that you know those who are from your kingdom. You are sitting at the airport and you hear somebody say, Le bro, shaka, tayara baba. Ah! That's my brother. Glory to God. That's my brother. How do you know? Ah, we are from the same place. And then you know, what's your passport? The Bible. The passport is the Bible. We are from the same kingdom. We are speaking the same language. And our passport is the Bible. What am I saying right now? Genesis 10, 20. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Verse 31 and 32. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their generations. By this were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Therefore, if the family has been declared blessed by God, then they cannot be unblessed. After their families. So whatever happens to this family, you know them by what happened to the previous. After their families, by their tongues, by their nations. That's what that song said. And their family, and their children, and their children, and their children. It's still the same family, so the blessings transcends to generations even yet unborn. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Also take note, inside this family, curses are not permitted. But quickly, because of time, let's take a look at examples of those who had their families, by their families, got their families blessed. By them, God got their families blessed. Noah was the first, is number one. He had his family saved from the storm. Why? Because of his righteousness. Genesis 7:13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. By Noah, his whole family, generations, got saved. Number two example is Abraham. God said, by myself have I sworn. Genesis 22:16-18. He says, by myself have I sworn. Based on what you have done, your seed will be blessed. It started raining blessings on him. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. He says, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and by your seed shall possess the gates of thine enemies, and by thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because one man obeyed God. Another one is Esther. Esther risked everything to save her whole family. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Risked everything to save the family, which means what we do can either have our families terminated or saved. Whatever we do has a ripple effect on our family. Any cause associated with any family shall be destroyed this morning. Amen. What do we do then to secure the blessings of God on our families? What do we do? Number one, we should remember that God wants us and our household saved. Remember God wants us and our household saved. In Acts of Apostles chapter 10 and verse 24, the Bible says, and the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, for he had called together his kinsmen near and near friends. And in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And so everyone got saved in that house because of Cornelius. Number two, we should be the Josephs and Esthers of our family. Josephs and Esthers of our family. Wow. Joseph was instrumental to the salvation of his family. Joseph and Esther, and we talked about Esther earlier. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to give my life for this family. Let's be the Josephs and Esthers of our families, whereby whatsoever was unpleasant, by our stand, it stops. That means our children need not go through what we went through. That will be somebody's testimony. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, we should stand in the gap on the altar of prayer for the rescue of the souls of our family. Stand in the gap on the altar of prayer for the rescue of the souls of our family. Ezekiel 22:29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. So they have been People have been oppressed. There are families that have been oppressed. He says we should stand in the gap to stop the oppression. How? 1 Timothy 2:1-4. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions be made. And that will ultimately put a stop to every oppression in any family. Number four, we should plead for God's mercy to break the curses associated with serving other gods. Serving other gods. And you know that was the greatest department of our grandfathers and fathers. Greatest department. It says we should ask for mercy. Lord, have mercy on this family. Have mercy. We have wronged you. I heard God's servant praying one day, recently. God's servant, Pastor Enoch Adeboye, he was praying one day, recently. He said, Lord, have mercy on us.
That is the nation of Nigeria was praying for. Have mercy on us. We have wronged you. All of us have wronged you. All of us, have mercy on us. This thing is too much. Have mercy on us. It will draw tears from your eyes when you watch that video. Mercy for the family. Glory to God. Number five, we should enter into a covenant to serve God as individuals. Individual service will ultimately have generational effect on the family. Individual service will have generational effect on the family. Glory to God. You know, one day, Abraham and Lot, God said to Lot, get out of this place now because I'm going to burn it down. He said, don't look back. The Bible says Lot was still dilly-dallying. He was still thinking, should I not? The Bible says the angel literally pulled him out of the place. If you read that scripture, he says the Lord had mercy on him for Abraham's sake. For the sake of Abraham, God had mercy. Lot should have died long time ago. He says God had mercy on him for Abraham's sake. When they had escaped again, he stood in one place. He said, the angel said to him, he said, run to the mountain. He said, no, there is no business in the mountain. Let me go to the plain. This thing is coming. He said, please, let me go to the, go. He ran to the plain. At the end of the day, they still came to rescue him for Abraham's sake. So what we do has ripple effect on our family. If we serve him, our families enjoy the blessings. We serve him, family enjoy the blessing. Number six, we should have faith that we are caretakers and God is in charge of the family. Have faith that you are a caretaker. If you are a caretaker of a building, you are not the owner. You are not the landlord. It means anytime the landlord comes, you have to give account. That means account will be asked of us, of our children. We are simply caretakers. We don't own them. God is the ultimate owner. And finally, number seven, we should believe in the ministry of the prophet sent for the rescue of our family. Believe in the ministry of the prophet sent for the rescue of our family. Hosea 12:13, and by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. God sends prophets our way for the rescue of our families. How many of you have patterned one way or the other, patterned your family after God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo? That you think, Lord, you have asked. Lord, please let my family be like this one too. Let my children be like this one. That there is no sweat over any child. No sweating. No nothing. By his grace, even Bishop David Thomas Aremu, Bishop David Abi, you can't hear any negative thing about them, about their children. It's always good news. For your children from now, it will be good report. Amen. I said concerning your children, it will be good news. Amen. Everywhere you turn, it shall be good news. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name. Rise up on your feet with me and give God thanks this morning. Let's give God all praise and all glory, all honor and all adoration. Father, we worship you. We exalt you. We magnify your name. No family here represented shall sorrow over anyone again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. It all begins with knowing this Jesus. Before he can rescue your family, you need to know him. Like I said, Lot was rescued for Abraham's sake. Abraham, the righteous. And so for any rescue mission to come up, you need to know him. Therefore, this morning, while all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, you know you need that prayer. You need to make that commitment between you and your God. This morning, put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you. Someone else, God bless you. God bless you. Someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I did know you before, but I walked out on you. That's why everything has gone down. That's why everything has gone haywire. I need to return so that everything can return. I need to return so that this family can be saved. I need to return so that this family can have a positive news, good news. Why not also put your right hand on your heart? Let me pray with you. Forget about who is watching you or not. Forget about who is here or not. You can't lie in front of Jesus. He's the one that rescues. He's the one that keeps the family. He's the one that makes the family great. Therefore, in any of those two categories, put your right hand on your heart, online and on ground. And if you are doing that, repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for the rescue of my family. Thank you, Lord, because you have done it. In Jesus' precious name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. The same grace will preserve them. Amen. These ones will never go back to perdition again. Amen. They will take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. And Lord, their families will be preserved. Amen. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Amen.